Ring the bell, of course, and however that sit was for you all, it's just so lovely to sit together as always. Today I want to sort of stay with the thread of refuges that we spoke of last week, and a couple weeks ago I referenced a book that I hadn't read but I read about, called The Extended Mind, and thinking in a way this is sort of a sangha and the extended heart and the classic refuges in the Buddhist teachings are the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. I take refuge in the Buddha and the awakened mind. I take refuge in the Dharma and the noble path. I take refuge in the Sangha of realized beings. What does this mean? You know, I take refuge in the Buddha, knowing Siddhartha was a man, and he did this. He, through great effort and eons of lifetimes of practice, he woke up and became this bright light, the awakened one. And he said in his teachings, I wouldn't teach it if it weren't possible for you. Come, Ehipasako, come check it out. See what fits, let go of what doesn't. Try it out. Practice. Embody it to see what works. So taking refuge in it, the possibility that's possible for us, and that enlightenment, becoming enlightened, isn't some destination out there, but it's this moment. Is it possible in this moment? And then fall off and come back. Okay, in this moment. So allowing the gaze of enlightenment to be short. Just here in this moment, a touch, a taste of liberation from a mind that can speed us up, or reactivity, or just thoughts that spin us out in ways that just suck. Do we have a break and a awakening from that conditioning, those habits that don't serve us? That, in my mind, that's enlightenment. That's really what we're striving for, these moments. And hopefully we get a number of moments together that we string together like that's on a necklace. Taking refuge in the Buddha. Taking refuge in the Dharma, the truth, these teachings. But again, it's what's true for you. As I mentioned in the instructions, for some, mindfulness of the breath is great. And for others, it's like, oh, it's terrible. Okay. Kind of to play with what's terrible about it, but really what works, what's supportive. And not feeling like, well, I have to do this, even though it's so contrary to what I want to do. There's an edge there. What's the ego? What's the preference? What's true? And what I so love about these teachings, it's a clearing away of the hindrances of that which we grasp, of that which we push away. Pushing through, clearing away the anxiety and the restlessness that can run through us. And the last of the hindrances. Working with setting aside clear seeing of doubt. And there's sort of a healthy doubt of like, does this actually work? The skeptical or the cynical doubt isn't so helpful. It's like, ah, this is stupid. Generally, that's a phrase that doesn't really help us across the board. But sort of working with how can we see more clearly in the, at home I have a beautiful Tonga of Manjushur who has that sword to cut through delusion, to cut through so we can see clearly. This is an insight practice. Vipassana is an insight practice to see more clearly what is actually true. What works? Where do we find solace actually? I've spoken before, and Tara Brach speaks of the false refuges of food and alcohol and drugs and Netflix and shopping and onlineness and all the myriad of ways that if we lean too far in, either lead us into addictions or just not sustaining refuges. And sort of what are actually true places of rest and joy and community. And I'll speak about this in a minute. Well, it leads into this third place of refuge, and taking refuge in the Sangha of awakened beings. Here we are, right? Maybe more awakened at other times, but it's really this intention that not to put words upon your experience, but the fact that you all show up here, there's a desire and intention of, can I find some like-minded people where it's a find ways to navigate this human life where it's a little bit easier? Where is there a sense of ease, a sense of naming, oh, this is hard being human under the best of circumstances and under the worst. It is hard. That's this human realm. 10,000 joys, 10,000 sorrows. We may feel them at exactly the same time. Right. It's not that we've done something wrong. It can be a kind of conditioning that if we're suffering, we've done something wrong. Not so helpful. Well, again, where do we find rest and refuge, and how do we find Sangha in coming up on year 3 of COVID time, where our communities are fractured or changed, harder to find, harder to physically connect, right? And I don't know about you all, but this week, I shared last week, it was my niece who passed away last week, and 32, two babies. And then the headlines, I saw something on Yahoo feed of like, we are actually in the sixth extinction is happening now. And what happened in Tonga, the volcanic eruption unlike it we've ever seen before. I mean, just it's hard out there, right? And those are just a couple of headlines in just my personal share, but what we're all navigating. I might close the door, sorry. This is noise. Thank you for the kindness of us. It's just hard. The times are hard. The politics are hard. It's just hard. And the dire predictions of apocalypse, be it political or environmental or whatever, it's hard. Okay. So it's about how we buckle up and stay connected to our own hearts and to each other, right? And again, we're stretching across oceans and state lines and national lines. Okay. But here we are. Right, we've come together. And just thank you all for the well wishes and the love about my niece. Her name was Liz Fisher. And if just to bring her in. So for us in this community of spirit that we are, that we are allowing to drop ourselves to drop into and avail ourselves of, I want to share from Rumi. So this goes way back. Right? There is a community of the spirit. Join it and feel the delight of walking in the noisy street and being the noise. Drink all your passion and be a disgrace. Close both eyes and see with the other eye. Open your hands if you want to be held. Sit down in the circle. Quit acting like a wolf and feel the shepherd's love filling you. At night, your beloved wanders. Don't accept consolations. Close your mouth against food. Taste the lover's mouth in yours. You moan, she left me, he left me. 20 more will come. Be empty of worry. Think of who created thought. Why do you stay in prison when the door is so wide open? Move outside the tangle of fear thinking. Live in silence. Flow down and down in always widening rings of being. So beautiful, right? As timely now as it was then. Think, be empty of worry. Think of who created thought in the way that we can get so tangled up in our thoughts, and often thoughts of not enoughness, of not belonging. Think of who created thought. Think of ourselves as creating thoughts of worlds we don't actually want to live in. What are the thoughts of the world we do want to live in? What are the thoughts of how we want our heart to be in these times that are scary? I read an editorial of Amanda Gorman, who a year ago today gave that most amazing inaugural poem. And she wrote in her editorial like how scared she was to give the speech, not because of giving the speech, in front of, I don't know, gazillions of people, but she was actually so scared for her life. And friends and family were saying, you sure as you as a young Black woman want to stand in front of a camera like that and be so exposed? Are you going to be okay? And are you going to wear a bulletproof vest? And her fear of, is my life in danger? And it's a whole nother talk that this young, beautiful woman would have that fear. But she said, I was scared. And she didn't really know up until the day whether or not she would actually show up. And she decided, yeah, I am scared. And these are my words. It would be insane not to be scared, and how to be like, yeah, okay, I am scared and I'm going to do this. And it's a beautiful editorial in her saying like, yeah, these are scary times. If you weren't scared, something would be off, but okay. So we make use of that fear. We say hello to it. And I was listening to a talk of Gil Fronsdale last night, and he was speaking about fear in this way of, okay, it's a companion of ours. It's not to be feared. It's not to be shunted. It's not to feel any kind of shame for being scared. Like, yeah, it's scary. The times are scary. Okay. So where then can we find solace and refuge in this idea of the extended heart? And it's my belief and my hope that this Sangha has that sense of, oh, there's an extension. I can extend my heart to feel my place in this particular community of women. And where else can we find these extensions of our heart in that which we love? Right? The natural world. There's a rose that's blooming outside my window. It's amazing. And I'm down in Southern Cal right now, and I walked out of this little house we're renting, and I kid you not, a hot air balloon was overhead, and my daughter's like, hey, look. And I was like, oh my God, it was amazing. And how do we find and allow ourselves to take in the natural beauty? Because, oh, we so need it, right? To tenderize and remind us, oh, there's so much beauty in the world. There's a lot of tragedy and there's a lot of beauty, and being able to find our place, again, taking our seat in the middleness, both of the Sangha and a translation of Upekkha, of equanimity, is finding our seat in the middleness of it all. It's so much. Be empty of worry. Think of who created thought. Why do you stay in prison when the door is so wide open? How do we allow ourselves to keep walking through doors, even though the fear might be there, and a tendency to kind of want to cocoon and stay inside and stay with our intimate beloveds, of course, and in safety around COVID and everything else. And how do we step out into the world to welcome and embrace the beauty that's here amidst the tragedies, right? What happened in Boulder? All those folks, have they, you know, we can go down the list of disasters, and this seems to be the time we're in, right? There will be more. Okay. And how can we look at our basket of resources to be able to reach in and say, ooh, there, we need that to be full. Yeah. To be available to us in one of those ways that personally, and I'm hoping will be true for you all, this way of reaching in, leaning back into the refuges as the Buddha offered, because they're really pointing a way home, right? Where of a place to rest, the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, turn back in and extend out to find places of rest. From Maya Angelou, the ache for home lies in all of us, the safe place where we can go as we are and not be questioned. And many of us didn't grow up in homes like that. Quite the opposite for some of us. So what is that ache for home? And I would liken the word home there for belonging. This ache for belonging that lives in us. We are wired to be together, virtual or otherwise. How do we honor that when there may be some fear or concerns or anxieties? Okay, yes, all of that's true. Welcome and entertain all that's here. But don't let that stop us from being able to stay with an open heart. Yeah. from Zen Master Hongpo, your true nature is something never lost to you, even in moments of delusion, nor is it gained at the moment of enlightenment. It is the nature of your own mind, the source of all things, your original luminous brilliance. And it takes some clearing, right? To push away, to pierce whatever word we want to use, whatever verb, to kind of see through the valences, the hindrances. And when we get moments of, oh, I'm not caught by grasping. I'm not caught by aversion. I'm not caught by restless anxiety, doubt. It's like, there it is. There's that luminous brilliance that is your own Buddha nature. We all have it, right? Your true nature is something that's not lost to you, even in moments of delusion. It's right there. It's that blue sky. Clouds may cover it. It's still there. It's not lost. It's not gained. It's the nature of your own mind, the source of all things, your original luminous presence. You, the richest person in the world, go around laboring and begging, complaining, suffering, while all the while the treasure you seek is within you. It's who you are. It's here. And the refuges from the Buddhist perspective of the Buddha and the Dharma and the Sangha all kind of point back to like, hey, look, it's possible to untangle ourselves from the tangles. It's possible to land and stand in a find and stand in a place of truth. It's possible to come together and feel the support of other awakening hearts and minds. All of this is possible. And all of that is remarkable. Yeah. Ajahn Chah writes, we take refuge in the Buddha. What is the Buddha? When we see with the eyes of wisdom, we know the Buddha is timeless, unborn, unrelated to any body, any history, any place. Buddha is ground. Buddha is the ground of all being, the ground of realization of the truth of the unmoving, unwavering mind. It's not about being enlightened in India. In fact, it was never enlightened, never born, never died. The timeless Buddha is our true home, our abiding place. Right. There was the historical man, Siddhartha. There is the truth of the teachings. There is this community. This is this timeless offering of refuge. And we each have our individual doorways in these teachings, and also, again, what brings us delight. And how much are we aware of what delights us? So when we do find ourselves in those challenging, heartbroken times, we know where to look. From Rumi, I've gotten free of that ignorant fist that was pinching and twisting my secret self. Now, having released, the universe and the light of the stars come through me. So beautiful. It's right there. Yeah. The goodness of our heart, the wise heart, the luminous mind, our own brilliance, it is right there. And sometimes it can feel like it is a million miles away. Yeah. So we keep coming back. Where do I go for a sense of joy? Is it the rose out the window, the random hot air balloon over your head? So where can we go to find it? And finding it in the simplest of places. The sun that's shining, what's available to us, allowing that bar of expectation to be low, right? A smile of someone on the street, you know, the animals. And I'm naming my own, right, as you that know me, and sort of where is that for ourselves? All right, I'm going to stop here and ask you to close your eyes. There was a lot of words there. Letting your attention come back into your body, feeling yourself sitting or standing or wherever you are, kind of calling your energies back into your own body. What delights you? And I offer this more as a repeating question. What delights you? What delights you to see what comes? What answers pop up like daisies? What delights you? What touches your heart? The sound of a loved one laughing. The sunrise, the sunset. A beautiful candle. You know, and again, allowing, casting a big net. The bigger, the better. Right? What delights you? What touches your heart? What makes you feel alive? And again, allowing these questions, if they resonate, to echo, to see what comes. And it's almost like harvest all those answers. Yeah. To put them in your basket. What delights you? What touches your heart? What do you love? These are important questions. What delights you? What do you love? What touches your heart? And allowing yourself. Giving yourself permission again for the door to be wide open to all these different answers. That's our harvest. Yeah. So I'll actually stop here. And thank you for your kind attention as always.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.